All right, hey, so that's a little rundown of what it's like to be a parent sometimes, right? That was a clip from the show Modern Family, and Phil Dunphy, he just knows how to make it fun, but also he messes up a lot of times. So anyway, it's one of those things. Today, we're in the second week of our series called Modern Family, and today we're talking about parenting, and more specifically, we're talking about how to lead our kids with grace and truth. Now, you need both of them, right? How to lead our kids with grace and truth. Now, some of you are maybe at that stage where maybe you don't yet have kids. Maybe you're like, I don't want kids, wherever you are. Maybe you're at a stage where your kids are like, you're empty nesters. You're done with that, but you're never done parenting. But also, maybe you're in a state, it was one of those things where whether you have kids or not, I think that the principles we're going to talk about today apply to every single area, really, of our lives. Here's the thing. It applies to any kind of way that we're a leader in any kind of way. Now, you may say, well, I don't have any kind of position. I'm not a leader. A leader is just somebody who's one step ahead of somebody else. It's anybody who has influence over somebody. And so as we talk about parenting today, you may be at a point where you don't have kids. That's okay. Just insert the word leadership as we talk about some of these principles, because they'll be helpful for you. But I have a question to ask you this morning as we get started. And you can answer it, especially if you're a parent, maybe if you someday want to be a parent, or if you know somebody who's a parent. That should be everybody, right? Here's the question. How many of you would say that parenting can be really amazing and challenging all at the same time? How many of you would agree to that? Some of you are like, amen, amen. Some of you are like, ouch, I know, it's hard. It's great at the same time. So this past week, Mandy and I got to be at Daytona Beach. We went on vacation. And on Wednesday, we decided to take our kids to Disney World. And we experienced this so much. It is amazing to be a parent because our kids got to see the most favorite thing in all of their life, more than mommy and daddy even, and it was Mickey Mouse. They got to see Mickey Mouse, and Mickey got to talk to them, and I remember watching their faces light up and thinking, now that is why we came. That is why we parked a million miles away and did everything we could to get our kids there, because they loved it. It was so great. But then we had to ride the tram on the way back, and it was late, and everybody and their mama was there trying to get on that same tram. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, we finally rolled back into our hotel back at Daytona Beach, and we looked at each other and said, honey, was it worth it? And we could thankfully say yes, because it was worth it for our kids. Parenting can be amazing, but it can also be very, very challenging at the same time. In fact, Ray Romano, you may know him, the famous actor, he once said about parenting, he said that having kids is like living in a frat house. Nobody sleeps. Everything gets broken, and there's a whole lot of throwing up. And so, anyway, that's how it is to be a parent. Anyway, sorry for those of you who are drinking during that. But anyway, coffee. In all seriousness, it's one of those things where parenting, I've had more joy being a parent because just watching my little kids, 1 and 3, just grow up into the little people that God's created them to be. Watching their personalities develop and how they have no fear about some things and how they get scared about goofy and, you know, things like that. I just love watching them develop. And we play a lot of ball. We play with a lot of dolls, you know, a lot of pink in our house now. But we have so much fun just talking and hearing the little funny things that they say. But also, you know that parenting also comes with some moments of pain, where maybe we look at ourselves as a parent and we're not doing a good job and we feel like ashamed, or we're not giving enough in some kind of way when we don't give things right. Or maybe we feel these pain moments when we train our kids up and yet they kind of go their own way and kind of do something that's harmful to them. And you just want to bring them in like the prodigal, you know, son and daughter. You want to say, come on back. I want to help you. But sometimes there's moments of pain. But parenting is one of the greatest blessings. So as we talk about leading our kids, I think one of the biggest struggles in the hustle and bustle of figuring it all out is knowing what are we aiming for as a parent? I mean, what is the target that we're trying to shoot for? Now, some of us might say, hey, our target is to like make it through the day with no stitches and everybody's still alive. That's a good day. Maybe that's where you are. And it's hard to know what's beyond that. We're at the stage of our lives, me and Mandy, as parents, where we have such young kids that we feel like we're like the people that get all we get to say to our kids sometimes is the word no. You know, can I jump on my sister and poke her with a sword? No. You know, can I eat this off the floor? That's our daughter. No, you can't eat that off the floor. All these different things. We feel like we need to wear a shirt that says the answer's no. In fact, when we're in conversations with people, sometimes when people ask us our name, we're almost tempted to say no. I mean, that's what we get used to saying, you know. So anyway, but the thing with all of that, it's helpful as a parent to know, what are we aiming at? What are we going after? What's the aiming point and the goal? Craig Rochelle was once talking about this, and he said this: the number one goal as a parent, you could say as a leader, the number one goal as a parent is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from their parents and until their dependence solely rests on Jesus. Let me say that again. To gradually transfer a child's dependence away from the parents until their dependence solely rests on Jesus. In other words, our goal as a parent is to train our kids up as a mom and dad to gradually transfer their dependence from us to the Lord so that they start learning the Lord. And so one of the things that we know is, as a kid is young, when a kid's really, really little, they depend on their parents for everything, don't they? Some of you are like, yes. You know, they depend on you to eat. They depend on you to put them down to sleep. They have these things called diapers, and they can't get clean without you. They're dependent in everything. But as they grow older, one of the goals for us as a parent is so that our kids become less dependent on us. Not where we're not important, but where we start to push their dependence so that they learn in their lives to depend on the only one who can love them completely, on the only one who can satisfy them and guide them in every area of their life, and that is to grow them to depend on the Lord. And so with that in mind, there was a lesson that Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 was trying to teach the Israelites. And it was a very similar lesson. He was trying to teach them to not just depend on him as the leader. Like, he wasn't the one that parted the sea, really. He wasn't really the one who led the people. It was really God in his power. And so he's trying to give these instructions to the Israelites to say, don't just depend on me. I want you to learn to depend on the Lord and to teach your kids to do the same thing. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's what we're going to read. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's the fifth book of the Bible. And before we read that, let me give you just a quick context. The chapter right before Deuteronomy 6 is Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God gives to Moses to give to the people the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten, that he wants the people to live by. And it's not just a list of rules of do's and don'ts. It's kind of like this: hey, I want you to keep me first in your life. That's an important principle. I mean, I don't want you to do this, and I want you to do this. And he's telling them these things so that it will go well with them. And then we turn over the very next thing that happens, Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the words that Moses tries to impress on the hearts and on the lives of the people of Israel. Here's what he says. He says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." And so what he's saying is this: look, I don't want you to just depend on me as the leader. I'm trying to direct your dependence so you start to depend and to trust the Lord in everything. And Moses is saying this to the parents. Did you notice this? It wasn't just about following God in your life. What he's saying is this. He's saying, parents, as you teach your children to fear the Lord, as you teach your kids to live according to God's ways, then not only will your life be changed, but did you see it? The next generation will be changed. And the generation after that will be different because you follow the Lord and you train them to do the same thing. And so if we as parents train our kids, we're to train our kids not to depend on us. Now, they need us for things, and we need to be, you know, good coaches and advisors, and sometimes when they're little, have even more hands-on and say, here's where to go and what to do. But not to depend on us, not to depend on themselves, not even to depend on everything that they see in culture, but to learn to depend on the Lord who created everything. And here's the exciting thing about this, is that it means that we have so much power as a parent in our hands. Now, some of you may say, I don't feel like I got any power in my house. It's one of, you know, but you have so much power as a parent to influence the next generation through your kids. You can influence their life by just gradually and every single day plugging away and helping them to depend on Jesus and doing that in your life. And so here's how it continues. The next verse, the next section, verses 4 and 5, is called the Shema. And it's actually the greatest thing in all of the Bible, in all of the Old Testament, if you will, that every Jewish parent, God told him, I want you to learn this and I want you to pass this on to your kids. Not just the words, but I want you to implore this to help them to learn this in their life. Here's what it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What does that mean? God wants us to know, and he wants our kids to know, that there's no other God out there. You don't have to keep searching and searching and searching. There's one God, and it's the Lord. It says this. Here's what it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This was the commands that they would say over and over and over. In fact, it was one of those things where they would, 3 times a day, they would recite this in the morning and in the afternoon and the evening. To love the Lord your God is the most important thing. Here's how it continues. Verse 6. It says, these commands, Moses says, that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so this is what he's trying to say. He's saying, look, the number one thing that I want you to learn, what I want you to know as a parent, is that we have to teach our kids to love the Lord. We have to teach our kids to love the Lord. Now, it's one of those things where he's saying, look, I want you to impress the truth of God on your life, on their lives. But most importantly, I want you to teach your kids to love the Lord. Why not? Why doesn't he say teach your kids to obey the Lord? Why didn't he just say that? Just follow the rules. Just fall in line. Do what God says, right? Sometimes we do that as parents. Like, just, you know, why? Because. Why? Because. Maybe you have those conversations. Anyway, but the reason he didn't say just obey is because if following God in our lives just becomes about obedience, then oftentimes we'll miss the reality that, of actually falling in love with God. If our relationship with God, and we teach our kids to do the same, becomes only about following all the rules and getting everything right, then oftentimes we'll miss the relationship that God wants to have with us. This is why God says, I want you to love the Lord your God, and I want you to teach your kids to love the Lord as well. You know, sometimes, have you ever seen when you go to a swimming pool, you're excited to get there, you open the gate, and all of a sudden there's this sign. I call it the do not sign, you know? There's this sign of all the rules and all the things you can't do. Like, you can't have fun, do not dive here, don't jump in the water here, you know, all these different things. You can't be out too late, do not pass go, do not collect $200, all these things that you can't do at the swimming pool. And it's depressing if you start reading that. You know, like, man, I feel like I'm so restricted in the pool right now. But sometimes we treat God in our lives, and we treat God, even to our kids, like God is like the do not sign at the pool. Like, don't do this. And you got to be a good Christian here. God's going to be mad at you here, you know, something like that. And when we do that, it oftentimes pushes our kids away from the relationship. But God wants us to teach our kids to love the Lord and to see God as our heavenly Father. As our heavenly Father. In fact, the word that's used so many times in the scripture is the word Abba. Say Abba. All right, you know a Hebrew word, good job. The word Abba sometimes is translated father, but it's actually more endearing than that. It's a term of extreme endearment. It's like saying daddy. It's like we look up to God. In fact, when God says, when you pray to me, I want you to say, our Abba, who art in heaven. That's what he says. Not, oh, father, with crazy language that I would never say. He said, I want you to call me your dad. Like, it's almost like, climb up on my lap and tell me what's been going on with your day. I love you. And this is this is what God wants us to impart to our kids. Not a bunch of rules. We need to show them where to go, but to show them about the relationship God wants to have as our Heavenly Father. And when you do, the kids will often choose on their own volition that they want to follow God. So they learn to love, and then they start to follow. Here's how I think we can do this as parents. One of the greatest things that I think you can do is to make God personal for your kids. Make faith a personal thing for your kids. Make following him about a relationship. In fact, when I was growing up, one of the things that my parents did so well is when as a kid, my parents would share with me about the stories of the Bible. Now, they would take me to church and I would hear about them there, but oftentimes we would do it through music. We would sing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I love that because I was like, man, I'm tiny and I'd be a wee little man and I would see Jesus, you know. Or we'd start singing songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know. And as I would start to sing it, it was kind of words at one point. We'd stand on a coffee table and we'd perform Jesus loves me to our parents. And we would sing it. Just imagine how our parents felt, like almost like this prayer that you would probably pray if you were in their shoes, like, God, I just pray that that truth would leap into their heart and one day they would know it themselves. So we'd sing this and and it was just words, but someday and over time, God started leaping into our heart and we started realizing, whoa, those words that I said and those truths that they imparted to me have become the truth that I believe, that Jesus loves me. But I think most importantly, the thing that they did is in so many ways, they would open up about their faith. They would share with us about their struggles and that, not crazy stuff, but they would share with us about, you know, like their testimony, how God's met them in their life. And they would share with me, not just about when they got saved, but they would say, hey, here, you know what God's teaching me right now? And they would share stuff like that. And it was one of those things in those moments, God became real to me. I think there's not a better thing you can give your kids than to help your kids to realize that God is real. And you can do that by making it all about a relationship and helping them to fall in love with Jesus. Here's the second thing that I think Moses tries to teach us. And what he's saying here, he's saying to parents essentially this, that we have to lead our kids. We have to lead our kids and lead our family in the Lord. We have to lead. Now, what that means is it doesn't happen by osmosis. And leading our kids doesn't happen by accident. We don't just like unintentionally say, oh, we just started leading, right? It's one of those things. Moses is saying, look, you've got to be intentional. Write this down on your door frames and on your houses. That's why he says that. Teach these to your kids. Like, talk about God throughout your day. Show them the ways of the Lord. And it's so tempting as a parent to become passive as a leader. It's so tempting to become passive because they're tired, you know, the stuff going on. It's so tempting to become passive. And the thing is, it's even more when it comes to faith, when it comes to imparting our faith or faith onto our kids. That's the one area where oftentimes parents struggle or maybe are reluctant to lead because sometimes we feel inadequate. Like, what do we have to offer? Or I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm still figuring it out myself, whatever it is. Or maybe it's like, I'm just not a good enough example. Sometimes we're reluctant to lead, especially when it comes to faith. And so parents oftentimes make a decision that maybe you've heard before out in the marketplace where parents will sometimes say, oh, I just want my kids to decide for themselves what they want to believe. I'll just kind of let them figure it out for themselves and figure out how they want to live their life. They'll make that decision. And that sounds really nice and noble and, you know, you get a pat on the back in culture today. That's so great. The problem is it doesn't work. I mean, we would never do that when it comes to when your kids are playing out in the street when there's a bunch of traffic. You don't say, I'll just let my kids just figure it out, like figure out if it works for them. You wouldn't do that. No, you say, get out of the street. You're not playing there because it'll cause you harm. In the same way, you don't let your kid just go touch a stove that's hot. Why? Because it'll bring harm to their life. It's the same reason why you say you need to eat your fruits and vegetables, not just your fries, you know, not just the chicken fingers. You know, you need to eat your fruits and vegetables because it's going to help you to grow and it's going to make you stronger. And so we do this in so many ways. And I think this is the same principle we've got to apply to our spiritual lives when it comes to leading our kids. Spiritually, your kids need to hear from the one that they trust the most, their parents, that the way to find life and the way to find contentment relationship with Jesus. It's by following the Lord. And the thing is, this is why we're so passionate about this at the Fountain. It's why we're so passionate about not just discipling all of your kids alone, but we want to partner with you. We want to partner with you to help you to grow in the Lord and to help to raise your kids in the Lord. We only get 52 times a year, 52 hours a year with your kids. And we try to do everything that we can just to impart faith to them, but we want to help you as parents to grow in your faith and to help you to disciple your kids right where you are. And I think there's a lot of grace in this, but there's a question that we kind of have to ask ourselves as a parent. It's kind of a reflection. It's this: am I leading my kids, or are my kids leading me? Am I leading my kids, or are my kids leading me? You know, one of the things that we knew when we moved to the area to start the Fountain is there's a whole lot of families where the kids are leading the family, right? And it's one of those things where we said, hey, let's just create ministry around that. And let's just use that to help lead people to Jesus. And so from the very beginning, we said, let's have the absolute best kids ministry we can possibly put together. And obviously it's grown and we've gotten better at it and stuff like that. But one of the things we realized is if the kids are happy when they come to church, and they are, they come out and they say, Mommy and Daddy, we learned so much. Here's what we did, and we learned about Jesus. And they say, can we come back? Can we come back? And oftentimes parents are like, really? Okay. And what we've seen so many times is families who were not in church. So many times, kids drag their parents who weren't previously in church back to church, and they get connected to Jesus, and they fall in love with Jesus. So we kind of worked it out in our ministry strategy. Just wanted to let you know that. I'm not trying to be funny, but hey, we'll play to the strengths of what we got. But anyway, here's what it means. Parents, there's a lot of grace in this, but God has placed you in a position for you to lead. For you to lead. So take heart. Know that God's grace is with you, and lead your kids. Lead your kids. You know, one of the great models of leadership and really of parenting comes from the life of Jesus. And we, of course, Jesus is like our example of everything. But I want you to check out what it says about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says this: the Word, or Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. Let's read this together. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. He came to us full of grace and truth. In everything that he did, in every way that he led, in all of his relationships, he was full of grace and full of truth, balancing it so perfectly. And this is the model that God wants us to lead when it comes to our families, to lead with grace and to lead with truth. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes, we all have a tendency to swing one way or the other. And maybe your personality, maybe you're a parent that leads real, real heavily on grace. And, you know, the truth part is not as fun, right? Or maybe you're the disciplinarian. You're like, you lead with truth and there's not a lot of grace. And this is why we need the Lord's help and learn from Jesus so that we can learn to balance grace and truth. Because here's the thing. Here's what, if we swing it one way or the other, if it's all truth and no grace, it's kind of like what I call the military disciplinarian parent. You know, it's like everybody's in line. Everybody do this, don't do this. And oftentimes our parenting will sometimes feel like a hammer. It'll sometimes feel like legalism. See, parenting with only truth makes our kids feel like we're harsh. And the thing is, our kids need to know, they need to have grace. They need to know that they're loved. They need to be cared for. And they need to have the security to know that your love isn't dependent on their perfect performance. Like, I'm going to love you even if you mess up, buddy. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to love you no matter what. And the danger is, parenting so heavily on truth with no grace can cause our kids to crumble under the weight, trying to keep all the rules, but oftentimes missing the relationship, feeling like they're not good enough. So we don't want to be all truth and no grace. But on the other hand, we have what I call the snuggy parent. Y'all remember what a snuggie is? You know, those like blankets that you can actually wear around. You don't wear it to the office because you get fired, you know? But a snuggy parent is a parent who parents with all grace and no truth. It's all grace and no truth. In other words, a snuggy parent is, you know, they're warm and fuzzy. You know, it's like always a best friend all the time. Like never gives any direction or correction. And most of us are somewhere in the middle, but this is just an illustration of the opposites. And the snuggy parenting style, it doesn't work because loving your kids requires you to lead your kids and shape them in the direction that they're supposed to go. In fact, Zig Ziglar once said that a child who has not been disciplined with love by his little world will often be disciplined without love by the great big world. In other words, if you haven't been disciplined at home but with love, you get a job and you don't do your job and you get kicked out, you know? This is what happens. So we've got to discipline. We've got to correct, directed by love, and balance this grace and truth thing. So let me kind of put legs on this and kind of share it with you in a funny way of kind of how I think we can do this. And you may see yourself in these three different parenting styles, just really quick. I think one of the parenting styles of how we oftentimes miss this balance of grace and truth is the lifeguard parent. You know, we used this week with Kelsey and everything. She liked to eat the water more than be in it. But anyway, a lifeguard parent, you know, a lifeguard parent, they often try to rescue their child from any kind of consequences. You know, it's like if there's anything, for instance, let's just say, well, it's kind of like all grace and no truth. It's kind of like, oh, little Johnny's in trouble at school. And so what happens? Super mommy or super daddy swings in and throws the life raft and says, oh, teacher, it wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I let him stay up too late and it was all on me. So always kind of dipping in and saving them. Some of you are teachers like, yeah, I know that child. I know that kid. But we all can have this tendency. We don't want our kids to be harmed, but they need to experience some kind of consequences in order for them to learn. And so it's one of those things where a lifeguard parent often points the blame somewhere else and to someone else instead of it ever landing on their kid. And what happens is they often miss out when they grow up. They often experience the discipline later on because they didn't learn to be disciplined by love. Here's another kind of parent. It's the Etch-a-Sketch parent. Y'all remember what the Etch-a-Sketch is? You know, this is what people in Alabama call a computer. It's football season, guy. I've got to like give it to our rivals, and the Trawicks aren't here, so don't tell them, you know. But anyway, I love them. All right, but anyway, and Etch-a-Sketch, you know, it's like the shape of a Bible. Some of y'all are still thinking about that. It's like the shape of a Bible. It's got these knobs, and with it, you could draw all these lines. And so as a parent, we often draw these lines and these boundaries. And what happens with an Etch-a-Sketch? We draw and we draw and we draw these lines, and then we'll shake it up, and all of it's gone. And then sometimes the next day, we draw new lines and different barriers and different boundaries. And what happens is an Etch-a-Sketch parent is often inconsistent. And you see, this is leaders who are inconsistent. See, an Etch-a-Sketch parent or an Etch-a-Sketch leader, oftentimes kids or the people under you don't know where to go and what to do because things are always changing. And so we don't want to be like that. And so it's one of those things where this is one of the things where I tend to be like this sometimes as a parent. You know, like some of you can see yourself. Sometimes I'm like the military disciplinarian, you know. Sometimes I'm like drill sergeant dad. Like, here's the boundary. Don't jump on the bed. You know, fall in line. Do this. And then one day I'll become like the cruise director, you know, the cruise ship director. Like, hey, kids, let's all fun and all play. Jump on the bed and throw the pillows and let's go tackle mommy, you know. And so kids sometimes don't know what's the rules and where to go. And so this is why we don't want to be that style of parent. Here's number three. It's the split decision parent. The split decision parent, number three. And the split decision parent is often ununified. Ununified. In other words, parents disagree about how to do things and how to lead. Now, if you come from a family that's a blended family, or maybe a family's divorced and you've got multiple parents, it may be that one set of parents says, hey, this is how we're going to do things. And the other set of parents says, oh, this is how we're going to do things. And you got to figure out how do we get unified in all of that. And so obviously the Lord's help is needed. But here's the thing. What I know about kids, they love and they know how to play off of each parent. Just come to our refresh group. You'll see it. Peyton will come and ask one of us, me or Mandy, for a cookie. And what will happen is one of us will say, no, buddy, like, it's too late. You can't have a cookie. And the other one, he'll go and ask the other one, right? And say, hey, can I have a cookie? And we'll say, oh, yeah, sure. You've been such a good boy. Here's the cookie, and here's another one. And so it's this ununified. Now, that just happens unintentionally because we don't even know. You know, he just sneaks around and asks us those things. But anyway, it's one of those things where parenting is kind of like, this is like a fake firecracker here. We were going to buy a real firecracker and set it off in church, but since it's Public Safety Sunday next Sunday, we didn't want to apologize on the onset. So anyway, go with this fake firecracker. So anyway, basically parenting is a lot like a firecracker. See, on a firecracker, you know, you have the fuse and you have the rocket. And the thing is, as a parent, if the fuse and the rocket are together and they work together kind of like in tandem, then all of a sudden there's power. There's power and there's impact in our parenting. But what happens is if we get ununified, if suddenly the fuse is disconnected from the rocket, you can light that thing, but it's going to be just a fiery rope on the floor, right? It's never going to go anywhere. No impact. This is why we've got to be unified as parents. Now, here's what this means. We're always going to have times where we disagree about something with parenting or disagree about something when it comes to discipline. And you're going to do that. But what this means is you can do it behind the scenes. But when you walk out together, you're a united front that here's where I want you to go. And here's the standard. And we love you so much. You know, you're walking together. So anyway, all these three different styles, you may see yourself in one of those. So here's the question as we kind of conclude this morning is I want you to think about this. If you're a parent or maybe as a leader, where do I need to grow in this? When it comes to grace and truth, is there a certain line that I usually, if you were to think of a needle, which way and direction do I tend to lean toward? And how do I need to grow? Maybe for you, you say, man, I'm just that snuggy parent. I mean, I'm like the, you know, fuzzy and warm and always your friend. And I maybe need to grow in leading and being even more a truth. Maybe on the other hand, maybe it's like, man, I'm just like the disciplinarian and I need to lean a little bit more to having more grace with my kids. You can kind of look at your life and say, God, how do I need to grow? And I know that God will help you. And the truth is all parents, we need the help of Jesus. We need the help of Jesus who loves us and leads us with this complete grace and complete truth. And the way that we experience that, the way that we're enabled to do that is to simply come closer to Jesus, to surrender to Jesus, and to allow Jesus to lead us, to lead through us. And the more Jesus leads through you, the more your kids will learn to experience love that's full of grace and truth. We need God's help. And so with that in mind, let me pray over us as we conclude today. God, we are so grateful. We're so grateful for the opportunity to talk about parenting. And God, we know that there's a lot of grace in this. God, you love us so incredibly much. And God, you, as we sing that song, our Lord is fighting for us. God, we know that that's true about our parenting. We know that that's true about our marriages. We know that's true about every single area of our family, that you are fighting for us, that you are with us, wanting to help us. And so Jesus, today, I pray that this will be a moment of encouragement of God, how can I grow? That maybe we need to lean more, a little bit more toward grace, or maybe we need to, as a leader, as a parent, need to lead a little bit more toward truth. But God, no matter where we are in that, we pray that your spirit would come inside of all of us, that you would help us to become the parents and to become the leaders that God, you've called us to be. And God, sometimes we feel inadequate when it comes to leading people closer in faith. But God, help us to know that the best way to lead people forward, to lead our kids forward, is not to sit back on the couch and to say, I don't have a clue, I don't know what to do, but to seek you and to say, God, what do you want me to do? To simply take our kids closer to the foot of the cross so that you can pour into them. And so God, I pray that you would encourage us to do that. You would encourage us to take some time in our families to learn the truths of God, but also, God, to just show the love that you have for us and to impart that onto our kids that's full of grace and full of truth. And we ask this in your name. Amen.